And we welcome in our very next guest here in studio. And I think this might be Facebook living right now.
No, not on live, just a video.
Just a video. All right, we've got Emma Jansen. Emma is the author of, well, a few different books, but the one that she will be discussing on Saturday at the Amherst Public Library, Discovering Sanity. Emma, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. Andy and Matt, thank you for the invite to be here today.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, it's interesting because we always love when people come in studio. It's just easier to kind of get acquainted. You know, I realize that you and I have some mutual acquaintances, and I'll give them a quick shout out. My buddy Gary Fair, Savage Media. you were actually on his podcast earlier. He saw on social media platforms that you were going to be on the show, and it's interesting how this all works. You've got a very fascinating story. And we were talking before we went on the air, and I mentioned that I want you to retell your story. And you said, boy, which one? You said you've got so many. But, you know, discovering sanity is something that it's fictional. But
it's fiction.
There is a lot of your personal experience that's relatable in this book.
Yes, Discovering Sanity is a fictional psychological drama, psychological thriller. But when I wrote it, I was going through PTSD, war trauma, because I'm an Army veteran now. But at the time, I was still in and everything. And I used the book and I used writing to write through my trauma. But I didn't realize I was doing it at the time. But I thought that I was doing it to escape, to just avoid things that were happening in my life, PTSD and all that stuff. But I realized I was really interjecting how I was feeling, what I was doing, and then it just came to be. And I thought, man, this is really going to help some people. You know, once the PTSD got under control and it's at a manageable point now. So here I am saying, hey, here's my book. This is how I wrote it. This is where it needs to be, and this is how it can help you. And on Saturday, I want to have this conversation. And I will say that somebody might need to bring some tissues to that event.
Nice.
And some hugs.
And so there you go. Okay. Very good stuff. Now, it's fascinating to find out how one gets into writing and then really has a great deal of success with this, because we've mentioned that you've got a few books out there, but you know, just because you've written a book doesn't mean it always gets published. That's such a tough hurdle to leap. But and I know this is something that, as we mentioned, you've got some of your personal experience tied into. How did you become an author and how did you get into writing?
I always say it's not a book until somebody reads it. If it's on your computer, if it's on your notepad, if it's right in here, you didn't write a book. Somebody needs to read it. You know who told me that? My mother. Mm-hmm. What happened was I told her, you know, I came out of the closet and I said, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book. I will write a book and I'm going to publish it. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know who, what I need to do to get there, but I'm going to get there. So I was talking about it. It took me 6 years to write my memoir, right? And finally, at some point, I said, I got it. I'm going to publish this book. It's coming out next month. She's like, you know, I really don't believe that you wrote a book. And I'm like, I just said it was coming out like next month. And she was like, yeah, but I don't see it in black and white. So I got that from her. But that's how it began. I just, you know, it went through the journey of coming out of the closet. And I just knew I had to write my story because it's a little bit different than your typical story. And at the time, I used my youthful voice, and it's very bold and kind of in your face, and it's funny. It's a crazy story, believe me. Trust.
It sounds similar. We get the opportunity to talk to musicians, and it kind of sounds along those same lines. Like they want to put something in their albums that is themselves but speaks to everyone as well. It sounds like you take the very similar approach to writing a book.
Well, it totally hits you.
Yeah.
You know, it totally hits you, and you say, I know there's people out there because they have reached out to me and contacted me and everything. And it just, at some point in your life, you just go, I know that I'm going to do this. Period. End of story. Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish it, but that's what I'm going to do. So that's the inspiration. I mean, I didn't have anybody saying, oh, maybe you should. I did. I had people saying that, but it's not something that you really, truly listen to. You just kind of listen to yourself when it finally hits you and that light bulb moment goes off, you know.
It takes a great deal of courage to discuss the experience with PTSD. It definitely does. And, you know, I think a lot of people have a hard time coming out and discussing that. You've taken that to a whole new level. Give us an idea as to how tough that really was for you, not only to discuss it, but again, to put a book together on this.
Well, I didn't realize what I was doing with Discovering Sanity. And this fourth book that I'm working on, which was completely inspired by my new audience that I have, is heavy in PTSD concepts, but I don't talk about it. It's fiction. It's fiction. So I don't have like this how-to and, you know, dim setting that puts a cloud over somebody when they read it. It's still a good story, and I just interject that stuff, and it's like, I'm really sneaky with what I'm doing. you know, and they enjoy it. It's whatever. And then I have this serious conversation, but on Saturday when I have this talk, it will actually be the first time that I have this serious conversation about PTSD and what it did to me and how it relates to the books and stuff. You know, it'll be the first time that people are going to really get a glimpse of a person with PTSD and how they come to the ideations that they come to and how it affects their daily life, because it's not just about being jumpy. It's not just about looking back and making sure that the door's not behind you and stuff like that. It goes way, way deeper into the psyche. Oh, don't get me started. I would just go on forever on that.
Well, you were mentioning before we came on the air, you know, this is a little bit about split personalities, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of what the books definitely deals with. And, you know, just talking to you for the last 20 minutes or so here, you and I were kind of laughing about this off air because you mentioned, look, there are times where I've got to dial it down and be serious because it's a serious subject.
Right.
But you also mentioned there's another side of me that's not serious at all. And I feel like that's kind of what, that's kind of what we're getting from you here.
Yeah. Oh, that's the truth. I went viral. I did a video, and last year it went viral, and it's, you know, it's a dance video. It's, you know, and some twerking in there. You know what I'm saying? And so there's that side. And then I have an audience that really enjoys that. And I do like funny videos, and I have a YouTube channel and I do funny videos on that. And then there's this other side that, you know, with the books and the psychological drama and the psychological thriller and the topics that I will be talking about on Saturday, you know, are kind of intense. So you have to balance that out, because if I present you with PTSD, this book, this writing through trauma, whoo, really, you know, the room gets sad. And I got to be able to, at the end, uplift everybody and say, but it's okay to not be okay sometimes. And it just takes time. PTSD will get better. So that's how you end that. But I got to this point by going through the storm.
Sure.
You know, you have to go through it in order to come out on the other side with rainbows and sparkles.
When you're writing about a character who has PTSD or some sort of disorder along those lines, is one of your goals to kind of put a face on it for people who might necessarily not understand it, or are you trying to reach out to those who deal with it?
All of the characters in Discovering Sanity have some sort of medical you know, disorder, mental health disorder, or, you know, OCD, or I think you say it, it's not pica, it's pica, where they eat in objects that are not edible.
Sure.
Okay.
Go with it.
So I had to do a lot of research on, you know, medical disorders and all this kind of stuff. And in the book that I'm writing now, it is trauma related. All of these people, you know, went through a trauma together. And then each character is a manifestation of whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my face. And I just, as far as like physical features and stuff like that, I mean, it's, I just do what I do, you know, creatively. But I want that character to embody whatever they are going through. So if a person, you know, this is, you know, in this new book, shh, don't tell anybody, is a person that struggles with guilt. Everything that they do, their mannerisms and the way that they, you know, kind of hold their arms or anything like that, all that is an embodiment of guilt of a trauma or whatever. And I just went way off the charts with that one, but I hope I clarified that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Okay.
That sounds like it'd be fascinating to kind of write, too. Do you ever have to, like, have to go in and tone back something or say something along the lines, I don't know if they'd necessarily handle it that way? Does it make it tougher to write that way?
I actually have, on this book that I'm writing now, which I don't have a title for, that's why I keep saying this book, I said, you know, I really want to give true life to some of these characters, and I don't know anything about Kentucky. I don't know anything about Minnesota.
No.
You know, I don't know anything about, I don't want to say too much, but that.
Sure.
And so I reached out to my audience, and I said, hey, is anybody from Minnesota? Is anybody from Kentucky? Because I need to get the language, and I need to get the nuances, and I need to get the culture to make the character more believable. So now I have created friendships. And, you know, we call and we talk and we go over stuff. And so they don't really know what's going on in the book. Mm-hmm. I just say, well, this is what's happening with this character. This is what just happened before that. This is what I want the character to say. How would they say that? Because it's not in every state. You get it in, like, the southern states. They don't always say y'all.
Yeah.
They might say yuns or, you know, Minnesota. I didn't know they said they called it soda. I didn't know that. I wouldn't have been able to write. So
he used to live in the area. So,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, a little bit. The O's kind of carried out a little bit more on the dialect and things of that nature. And if you have any reference to Duck Duck Goose, for some reason in Minnesota, it's the only place in the world it's called Duck Duck Gray Duck. I don't know.
No.
Yeah, that's the truth. God honest truth, you can look it up on the internet. But yeah, there's that. But you're right. I mean, living there, I had to learn new mannerisms and things the way, and working in radio.
Even jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
She said something about the Vikings, and I don't know what she was talking about. Sure. But I do find myself, after I get off of the phone with these, you know, people, that I start doing all of this here, you know, my accent changes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's fun for me. It's fun for them, you know, but I couldn't interject the life into the characters that I have thus far in this book without these people. And I'm so glad I have the audience that I have, and the followers and the fans and all that stuff too, that are excited about, you know, this kind of thing. They don't want to just be watching me and following me. They want to be a part of it. And I get that a lot. I just did a dance contest too, and I said, hey, I did this dance and I posted this video, and if you guys can recreate that, you know, then we'll do a contest and I can give you a free signed copy of my book. So congratulations to Lamisha.
She got it, huh?
She nailed it.
Very nice.
You gotta involve your community.
Sure.
And I have really truly developed some friendships and long-lasting relationships, I can tell.
Very good stuff. Again, author Emma Jansen joining us here in studio this Saturday. She will be at the Amherst Public Library, and she'll be discussing her book, Discovering Sanity. Well, you had mentioned to me before we came on about how you certainly get into these really interesting discussions. You mentioned the thing about the vowels, and I thought that was hilarious.
The vowels?
Yeah, the vowels, right? You said you had somebody throw a vowel out there, and then you just kind of expanded from that.
Oh, okay. So what I did was, on this report, the nouns.
Oh, the nouns. I'm sorry. I thought you said vowels.
No. I thought you meant the O's in Minnesota, you know?
No.
So what I did was, I actually was working on a fourth book, and it kind of petered out because nobody wanted to give me their story of heroism. The theme was, you know, everyday heroes. But it was true life stories. I was trying to do true life. And nobody wanted to share that with me. I wasn't as popular then. They didn't believe that I would take care of their story. So I kind of abandoned that idea, and I was doing other things. And then I finally said, oh, genius idea. I do these noun stories with my kids. Give me a person, place, or thing. Okay, and they give me a person, place, or thing. I tell them a very quick little story. Everybody's happy. Everybody goes to bed. And it's funny. People like them. I posted on my YouTube. And I said to my audience, you know what? I'm telling you, this is what I'm good at. I like doing this. I enjoy doing this. You give me nouns. Anything that you want. And they did. And I took like the top 25 because, you know, they would keep coming in on Facebook. So I had to just stop it at a certain point. But they kept coming. I promise you, they kept coming. And they gave me the nouns. And they were things like Kansas and badunkadunk and laundromat and stuff that didn't make any sense. Ka-ching. It's not even a noun. It's a sound.
Yeah.
You know? And some of them, I said earlier, some of them were just cheeky and wanted to put their name in there. And I was like, wish granted. Now your name is in a book. Psh, by
cool.
God.
It's a heck
that's
of an
cool.
accomplishment,
yeah, no
getting
kidding.
Your
so
name in a
I
book,
did.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. So right now I think I'm in like 58 pages, you know, so single space, you know, raw manuscript.
Wow.
I have a ways to go, but I'll get there.
And you're looking for a name for this thing right now. How tough is that? How hard can that be to find? Oh. It seems like such a simple process, but that's really tough to do.
Oh, you're getting the scoop here. Okay, so I do have a working title.
All right.
Okay.
That I was trying to figure out a title for this book, you know, because normally in the beginning, I've always had a title prior to me writing the book, right? But I just couldn't think of anything because I didn't know exactly where I was going with it. I wanted to put all of these nouns that are just so far-fetched into the story. So I said, I need help. I need to my audience. I need help. You guys want to help me, you know, find a title for this book. And so Lori, I got in contact with Lori. She's going to appreciate that. Well, emailed back and forth. And I said, I give up. I can't think of a title. If you can, this was in a private message back and forth. I said, if you can think of a title that I would like to use, free sign copy. The first, you know, the hot copy that comes out, I'll sign it and I'll give it to you. And she was like, ooh, challenge accepted. And in 5 minutes, she just shot me. And we talked about it later on. She shot me 6 ideas. And wow. I was like, I love it. That one right there is perfect.
You got it?
And I submitted that to my publisher. And he's like, I don't know.
Isn't that what a lot of publishers say, right?
Well, it doesn't capture some audiences.
Okay.
Because the first word is collinear. And not a lot of people know what that is. I had to look it up. He had to look it up. But boy, that sure sounds delicious, doesn't it?
It does, yes. We talk a lot about food on this show, too.
Do
that,
you?
Oddly, that's where my mind went as you said that, yes.
Collinear, so. Yes, I love it.
Wow.
I love it. It's like a mathematical word term, I guess, and lines on a point on a path, and it's like a whole thing, and I had to look it up, and even after I looked it up, I was like, I'll come back to that.
But see, that's crazy because that's a perfect example of how tough it can be for us to find a title for a book, right? The title of this show, remember that? Going back 2.5 years, it was tough for us to find a title for that. So like finding a title of a book is a really tough thing to do. I mean, especially as you're writing this, I mean, you get so deep into the book, you're not even thinking about the title. You're thinking about the story, how you create the characters, how you make them connect. And like, it's so hard for you to remove yourself from that and look at it from a totally different scope and think about what the title should be. But that's all part of the process, right? Relying on other people.
When it's not always about, like, the title matching the book and, you know, maybe, ooh, that sounds delicious. No, because it's hard to say this stuff in a PR. So that's what my publisher was thinking. Like, okay, not a lot of people know what that means. It's difficult to say on radio, podcasts, stuff like that. And if you say it too fast or you say it incorrectly, now you've just messed everything up. Like, some people still say that my book is Discovering Insanity. So, saying collinear, and I'm not going to tell you the other word, but it's a difficult word. So that's where his concern was. But yeah, there's a lot involved. I don't know if he's going to hear this now and be like, oh, why did you do that?
Well, in your defense, though, I think what's fascinating hearing you talk as well is your audience kind of came up with that title. So
they did, and I thought that's the beautiful part about this. And I said, there's no better person, not just her, but there's nobody better and more qualified to give this book a title than the audience that helped me develop it.
For sure. Yeah.
And so sometimes when I look at my list, and I wrote it in purple crayon.
It'll stick for sure.
And I have my notes. I should have brought them in so I could show you. I didn't even think about it. But yeah, I wrote them in purple crayon. And I actually went on a video, like a live Facebook video. And I was like, here's the words. Nope, can't see them. And then somebody was like, is that in purple crayon? Yes, I got kids, you know.
Grab whatever you can find, right?
But I really try to keep my audience involved. So even when I was like, oh, ding, 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 genius idea from these nouns, I'm in the car, I'm driving to my dad's house. My dad lives in Avon Lake. The kids are whoop, 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 talk, 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 a million miles an hour. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I have an idea. So I did a video and I told my audience, I have an idea for this book, and it happened right now. Huh. So you are privy to the moment that I said, oh, bing, here it is. I try to keep them involved. Always, always. Some
Very
authors
nice.
Don't do that, right, and yeah. I think that's a detriment to what they're trying to accomplish.
Sure. Will you be keeping the audience involved on Saturday?
They're going to get the scoop. All right. They're going to get some details that it's going to blow their minds. If you go to this thing on Saturday, you have to prepare yourself for knowing something that you can't unknow. And it's not always negative. I might blow your mind. I just might.
All right. Well, we look forward to it again. Emma Jansen, author, joining us here in studio. Discovering Sanity is the book, and she will be at the Amherst Public Library this Saturday. Emma, this was a lot of fun. This is a blast. I mean, when we spoke about a half hour or so ago, we were talking about a lot of the same people we knew. You know, she actually interviewed with Greg Irons. Remember Greg?
Yeah.
He was here with Jeff Traxler, the guys at Mega Championship Wrestling, talking about that they have that fundraising show. every single year, breaking down barriers, one of the coolest things that they do all throughout the course of the year. And we had Greg on, and I thought, boy, Greg's one of those polarizing figures, such a cool guy to have on. We knew a lot. We have a lot more people that we have so many people we know. I had no idea that there were so many associations that we had.
Wow.
So many common acquaintances.
It's like
I'm so glad
that
I met him. Yeah, I got a picture with Jeremy. Greg. For some reason, I want to call him Jeremy. Maybe I knew
right.
a kid in high school. I don't know.
I believe that's an actor, right? Jeremy Irons?
Is it?
I think so, yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so
let's go with that.
My mistake, but I'm so glad that I met him and he let me show him a wrestling move and on the
cool.
podcast, you know. And I got the picture and I posted it. So, man, he's super nice.
He is.
If you're out there listening. Super nice.
Well, you know what? Gary Fayer of Savage Media is tuned in, so he'll pass that word on to Greg. So he'll find out somehow, some way. But, Emma, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.